that resurrection morning, amen, almost 2,000 years ago, Christ rose from the dead, amen. That's why we're here today, amen.
Each man, God, draw each woman, God, closer to you, Lord Jesus, God. we're trusting in your grace, Lord. We're trusting in your mercy, Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord, be with each one today. God bless our brother, God, as he searches for the mind of Christ, God, Lord, to come and feed your children, Lord, today, God, with what you give him, Lord. Lord Jesus, use this vessel, God, Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you so much, God. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. Anyone, Lord, that has a problem, God, a stirring in their heart, God, Lord, just look down upon it, Lord, today, God. Lord, may they just confess it to you, God, Lord. May they ask, Lord, with belief, God, Lord, not deceit, not doubting, God, or double-minded, Lord, but, Lord Jesus, believing they'll have what they ask for, God. We just love you, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'll just sing that little song, Yes, I Know. God still touches the people today, amen. Amen. Just thank God. Let's just give the Lord a round of applause, amen. Isn't he worthy of praise? Amen. Just sing a little song, Holy Spirit, rain down, amen. How many just are looking forward to God to rain down today, amen. We just want to see him welcomed in this place, amen. Holy Spirit, rain down.
Oh, Amen. Amen. You may be seated just for a moment here. Happy Easter, everyone. Amen. We realize we don't come today in recognition of colored Easter eggs or bunnies or of anything like that, but when we look at what we call Easter, we look at a death burial, and the Easter is a resurrection. Set those things to be so pure to the believers that because he lives today, we live as well. Amen. Amen. We have a hope. We have a purpose. We found a position in Christ. Amen. Why? Because the blood was shed at Calvary for you. But that blood didn't lay in a ground. That blood resurrected. Amen. And when the scripture says he's alive forevermore. Amen. He's alive today in his church. Amen. He's alive in the bride of Jesus Christ today. Amen. Hallelujah. Easter makes me want to preach. I'd like to say greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. This morning, we have Brother Matt Leitner from Pennsylvania. For those who weren't here for Sunday school, we had him do Sunday school as well this morning. I was thoroughly blessed, and by the grace of God, it just those little Bible studies and little teachings, how they just, remember, they positionally place a believer. So we just appreciate God for that this morning. And he was working with the financial ideas. And by the grace of God, after service, I told him, I said, he is the first one to preach a financial sermon in this church. So a little pat on the back, however you'd like to say it. But I appreciate that. He didn't go towards tithes and offerings or anything, but it was just a real good exhortation, a real good idea of what about money and being a good steward with those things. So we appreciate God for that. Amen. And we realize here that as was spoken, I've heard it said, listen to AFR every now and then, and they have a show called, Money Matters, or I can't remember what it's called, but they say that, they say on that program, he's a former stock investor. And he does a little financial program, kind of like a Dave Ramsey. But he says, just remember, he said, one tenth of that money is not God's. He said, all of that money's God's. Amen. So by the grace of God, not trying to get into my financial sermon this morning, but we just want to be able to say, God, I want to give you everything, God. I give you, let me be a good steward with the money you've given me. Let me be a good steward with the life that you've given me. Amen. He gave us a breath this morning. So, God, let me be faithful to the breath that you've given me. Amen. Amen. So let us serve the Lord with the greatest ability we have to do so. So, of course, we have, once again, the Sprints are in as well. And they travel as a band. They are Brother Matt's number one fan group, probably. So by the grace of God, it's good to have them. I'm sure Brother Matt is happy to have them here as an Amen Corner. We have, I'd like to say this just for a moment as well, too. That song leader that just walked off here, he just started a shift at Davis Best. He's working six or seven 12s. And he just got off at, 8 o'clock or whatever it was this morning, whatever time it was, and he comes straight to church from working all night, 12 hours. So God bless him for that, amen. So I say that because you know what? When an individual, and it shows a lot when he puts that effort to do that. So God bless him richly for that. And he didn't even look tired, actually. I'm wondering if some of us looked a little bit more tired ourselves. So I don't know if he got a good cup of coffee this morning or what he caught. But God bless him for that and his labor of love there. So God be praised with that. We do have some of those traveling out today. So God, we just keep them in your prayers. So the Delaneys are not here, as well as Brother Paul, Sister Amanda, and their little group. They're down in Florida. So, but anyway, we want to give a due season to the Word of God today. Amen. And I had an Easter song special I was going to sing, but I'll tell you what. I get up here and I just say, "Well, Lord, it's kind of whatever you want me to sing." And I just have this song ringing in my mind right now. It's "I Shall Not Be Moved." And so it won't be a song special. We could probably sing it together. And how many would be able to say with Christ, your Savior, I shall not be moved? Amen. Have you come to a place that you realize that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? That all the promises in him are yea to the believers? Amen. So I know time is far spent, but we've done things accordingly today. And I'm sure we'll have some family time later, even maybe amongst the Christian family. So God lead in all those ways there. And we'll look forward to those times as well. But right now, we just want to give God everything that we can give him. By God's grace, I was able to find out the title that Brother Matt is preaching today. So I thought that was kind of it sounds really good, and I'm looking forward to the Word of God. I'm doing the preaching, so when I get to listen to the Word of God, how great that is for me. I like to not just listen or to preach it; I like to listen to it too. So, God, above all, let us be not just hearers of the Word today. Amen. Have we decided that today we want to be doers of that Word as well? Amen. So, Lord, richly add his blessings there. We're going to invite Brother Matt out. I don't know if he has a song special or what he's going to do. But I want to sing that song, I Shall Not Be Moved. Amen. So, if you want, you can help me sing that. And I pray you're enjoying your Easter day. And what better place could we be than the house of God? Amen. Oh, Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved. say it's good to have Brother Larry here this morning as well. Amen. And then Brother Jose, Sister Lisa, God bless them. Good to have them in the house of God today too. So on that word, how you feel? You feel like you're not going to be moved? Whatever Satan does, I'm not going to be moved because I'm anchored in Jehovah today. Amen. Lord, allow us to be anchored. Amen. So we're going to invite our brother up. Let's give the Lord a round of applause.
My wife comes. She wanted to sing, and she wanted me to read a quote for her that went along with the song. So, thank you. When the little girl died, Jairus' daughter, the priest said, "Come lay hands on her and she'll live." But when the Roman centurion, the Gentile, said, "I'm not worthy you to come under my roof, speak the word, that's it." See, the Syrophoenician woman, Greek, actually what she was, when Jesus said to her, said, "It's not meet for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs," she said, "That's true, Lord, but the dogs under the table eats the children's crumbs." He said, "For this saying, the devil's left your daughter." Say good things then. Say something good about somebody. Talk about Jesus. Say something loyal, something real. That's the way to get rid of devils. He never prayed for the girl. He never said one thing about her being healed. He just said, "For this saying, for this saying." Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Let's just have a word of prayer as we're going into the Word. Lord, we thank you for the songs, the worship, the words that's been spoken, Lord, and how true it is, Lord, that all things are possible to them that believe, Lord. If we just can say the right words and have the right attitude, all things are possible to us. Lord, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus told us. That's what the prophet manifested in his life. And we know believers today are manifesting that again, Lord. And we thank you for your precious promises, Lord. We thank you for this time. We pray that you just lead and guide as we approach the Word and just have your blessed way, Lord, and speak to each heart is our prayer. Lord, only you can do that. And we just commit this service into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just want to take a little thought titled True Gold this morning. And our brothers, if you can just put up the title slide, it's just the title, True Gold. I had this thought some time ago. We were looking at fool's gold or pyrite, iron pyrite. And I thought that'd be a good sermon. I just wrote it down on a piece of paper and stuck it in my pocket. And then with this weekend coming, I reached into a pocket a couple days back and pulled that paper out. And I thought, oh, praise God, this must be where we need to head. So, because I didn't know much about real gold or fool's gold. So we're going to get educated this morning. And the word gold is in the Bible 419 times. So it's spoken of quite a bit there. I want to read just for a scripture, if you could stand with me, from Isaiah 33:6. This will just be our opening scripture. Not really a text, but Isaiah 33:6 says, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." Amen. You may be seated. And you'll probably need your Bibles a little bit later. We're going to start out just talking about gold. You can pull up the next slide, brothers. Real gold versus fool's gold. And the first slide there is a picture of real gold. I don't know if you can see it very good. Yeah? Good. Thank you to the sister who nodded her head there. It's always good to, when you ask a question, it's always good to get an answer, you know. So, I'm just pulling it up here because my vision's not quite as eagle eye in the natural, and I want to see it here. That's the Mojave Nugget there, if you can't read the writing, or if you can. And that's 156 ounces, which is just under 10 pounds. The largest gold nugget that was found in the United States, I guess, in California. California's largest gold nugget. And if you just switch right to the next page there, brother, on the slides, we have a picture of fool's gold, which is commonly known as iron pyrite or pyrite. Now, real gold is highly valued, and fool's gold is not highly valued. And if you want to switch again the slides there, brother, in the pictures here, if you look at the two of them side by side, the fool's gold, which is on the right, almost looks better than the real gold on the left. It's very shiny. It's got a nice color. It has a beautiful shape to it, where the real gold is sort of a misshapen lump. It has a nice color, but this isn't that impressive like the fool's gold there. And naturally, gold tends to be irregularly shaped, whereas iron pyrite comes as either cubes or multifaceted crystals. And We're just going to leave that slide up as I start talking about fool's gold, and then we'll get into real gold. And like we said, fool's gold is actually a mineral called iron pyrite, and it can be distinguished, or you can tell the difference between it and gold for one reason: of its hardness, its brittleness, and its crystal form. It's iron pyrite is unstable in the environment. In nature, it's always being created or being destroyed. When it's exposed to air and water, it decomposes into iron oxides and sulfate. Now, as I studied this, I almost felt like a chemist after a while, you know. So I'm going to try to relay all this in a manner that hopefully you can catch it. Iron oxides and sulfate is just two different substances which are the elements that make up iron pyrite. Just like everything is made up of elements. We all know that, right? Okay. And these reactions occur more rapidly when the pyrite is in a fine crystal or a dust, which is the form that iron pyrite takes in most mining operations. When they're underground, digging through the ground, looking for gold, copper, coal, any valuable substance to man, there's a lot of dust created. And the instability of iron pyrite means that it gives off energy, and this can cause mining shafts to collapse or dust explosions in mine shafts. The instability of pyrite can cause collapses and explosions. It also causes problems with building materials, because when there's iron pyrite present in a building material, such as in the aggregate used to make concrete, I think the aggregate, I'm not a construction guy, but I think it's the solid stuff that they mix the water in, and then they pour the concrete, and when it dries, then you've got a concrete. Thank you, brother. And didn't have time to look up everything. But if there's iron pyrite in that solid material they make the concrete with, it can lead to severe deterioration as the pyrite oxidizes. Now, what that means, again, because of the instability of iron pyrite, when iron pyrite comes out of the hidden environment under the earth and into contact with the air, it begins oxidizing.
Right.
And that can cause severe deterioration in concrete. In the early 2009, problems with Chinese drywall imported into the United States after Hurricane Katrina were attributed to oxidation of pyrite. And in the United States and Canada, and more recently in Ireland, where it was used as an underfloor infill, pyrite contamination has caused major structural damage. Modern tests for aggregate materials, that again would be concrete mixes, certify such materials as free of pyrite. So this fool's gold, this iron pyrite, not only is it not very valuable, but it can be damaging. Iron pyrite also gives off an acid which can pollute streams and cause acid rain. Iron pyrite has several uses, and the main one is for the production of sulfur dioxide and sulfuric acid, which is a highly corrosive substance. How many have heard of sulfuric acid? Okay, yeah. I guess it's in batteries at about a 30 to 40% dilution. They use it in drain cleaners. That's those bottles that have all the warning signs on them. Warning, 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 warning. How many ever used one of them drain cleaners or seen one of them? Yeah. And they say it'll go in there and eat everything out of your drain and open it up. Because sulfuric acid, it eats up anything with moisture in it. And on the website I was researching this on, they showed drops of it on cotton. It just, like, burns the cotton right away. If it gets on your skin, it burns your skin right away. Because anything, your skin, your body has moisture in it. So it's a very corrosive or destructive substance. And that's one of the main uses of iron pyrite, is to create a destructive substance. Because of the characteristics of iron pyrite. And one final characteristic of iron pyrite, it is a very common substance. So, now, if we contrast this with gold, the real gold, I'm gonna tear this page off here. Real gold is valued because of several characteristics that it has. And if you could just pull up the next slide there, brother. We'll get to that in a minute. Fool's gold, we read, or iron pyrite, is brittle and hard. Not easily worked with. But real gold is the most easily worked with, workable substance that there is. They call that malleability in science. And the malleability, according to the scientists, it allows the metal atoms to slide past one another without being subjected to strong repulsive forces that would cause other materials to shatter. So that's why they talk about beating gold. And in our picture here, which I need to pull up on the computer here, there is a tiny piece of gold at the bottom of that picture. You probably can't even see it. They say it's 5 millimeters. I'm not real familiar with the metric system, being a United States citizen and born and raised, you know. But 5 millimeters, but a centimeter, is it 10 millimeters to a centimeter? Thank you. Thank you. So a centimeter is not even an inch. It's like maybe my pinky finger is a centimeter. So we're talking about half of that, a real little piece of gold. That can be worked into a gold foil of about a half of a meter. Now, I know a meter is about a yard. So you're talking about a half of a yard square foil. And to bring it home to us, that's what they're showing the picture at a gold museum in Japan near a gold mine. But to bring it home to us, 1 ounce of gold can be beaten into a sheet of 300 square feet, which is big enough to cover this whole platform, about 30 foot by 10 foot. That's how workable gold is. They can beat it so thin, gold leaf they call it, that it can become transparent. And because of this characteristic, it makes gold very valuable. The Dome of the Rock that you see the pictures out, I think it's in Jerusalem, is it? Yeah. That gold dome, it's not solid gold. It's covered with gold leaf. Right. You know, they can, your gold pens, your gold objects, most of them are not solid gold. It's covered with gold leaf. They can stretch it out and use it to cover things. I believe even when they made the Ark of the Covenant, it was a wood box covered with gold leaf. So it makes it very useful, the characteristic of being workable that gold has. Another characteristic that gold has, in contrast to pyrite is very reactive, as we learned. It reacts, it's constantly changing, and that causes a lot of trouble. Explosions, cave-ins, staining, corruption of building materials. Gold, on the other hand, is one of the least reactive chemical elements. And it is solid under normal conditions. Normal conditions means regular temperatures. Abnormal conditions might be 500 degrees Fahrenheit, something on that order. So under normal conditions, gold will not change. It'll just stay the same. But iron pyrite is just ever-changing. Another characteristic of gold is that it is resistant to corrosion. And corrosion is when a metal breaks down and weakens. The most common form of corrosion is rust. And we all experience it with our automobiles or our lawnmowers or tractors, whatever it would be. They're mostly made of iron, and iron is subject to corrosion, which is rust. But gold will maintain its form. A buried treasure chest of gold will not rust. At normal temperatures, humidity, even underwater, it'll maintain when they sunken treasures. That's why they go after it. It's not ruined by those surroundings. Now, if you could pull up the last slide there, brother. We heard that iron pyrite is very common, one of the most common of minerals. Gold is rare. So it's almost like a study in contrast here between the two of them. And these properties give gold its value. Now, this here that we're looking at on the screen is the largest gold bar in the world. This is also from the Japanese Toy Gold Museum. It weighs 250 kilograms, or approximately 551 pounds. And as of the gold price from about 2 or 3 days ago, it's valued at $9,800,000. Gold price currently is like $1,200. A troy ounce, and a troy ounce is pretty close to a regular ounce. I don't know why they have to make everything so confusing. You know, it's like 14.5 troy ounces per pound versus 16 regular ounces. So I never knew that until yesterday, but I'd say that's more trivia than anything. But suffice it to say, gold is very valuable. And it's a good place if you're going to try to store up treasure to store up gold. Because if you lay up treasure in other items, cotton, wool, food, wood, iron, all these items are subject to decay. Yeah. And you have to keep them free from bugs. You have to keep them air away from them sometimes. Humidity and any other influences that may ruin their value. So I think I mentioned this morning about our storage room off the side of our garage. And because our basement is so prone to humidity, we live in kind of a town that's on a low water level, and our basement just is not a good situation. Our attic is really small. So we use this storage room on the side of the garage, and it's nice, it's big, it's got a lot of room. But there's a slight problem there, too. You know, that the builders, in an effort to save money, instead of putting a concrete floor in, they put a wood floor in. And that's right over the dirt. And then with all the moisture in our area, it seems like the moisture kind of comes in underneath the building and kind of wicks up into the room. And it's a constant battle out there. You know, you've got your clothing and your shoes and your whatnot. You know, as your children grow, you try to save things, especially like us. We have four girls. You try to save it and pass it down from one to the next. And it's a constant battle with the fabrics and the leathers and the vinyls and all those things to try to keep it dry in there. You know, I have a fan running in there on an extension cord pointing in from the garage, just try to circulate some air in there. And you just got to really watch things because things are just so subject to decay. You know, and I don't know, we're in the snow belt over there, and our vehicles just, the rust just gets at them and just eats them up. You know, and probably you experience some of that here too. There's a constant cost to maintain the value of those kind of items. You have to have a place for them. You have to try to keep that environment protected. Maybe 2-3 winters back, we had a real fierce winter. And I got kind of lazy and didn't go out to the garage. Just kind of let the garage be. Well, I wasn't going out there, but the mice were going out there, you know. And then I found out in the spring, you know, that these extra potatoes we were trying to keep in our garage, which all rotted, but anyway. Don't keep potatoes in somewhere really, really cold. It was a really cold winter because it will kill them, and then they'll rot. You got to kind of maintain the temperature. I learned that the hard way. But the mice got in there and just, you know, ran a rampage all over and got into some of our goods and materials that we were storing up and destroyed them. So now I have to go out there every month and service my little equipment that I have set up in the garage and write it on my schedule, you know, so I make sure that I keep that garage protected from mice. That's just the way it is when you're storing things that don't have the value of gold. And that's one of the things that gives gold its great value. Military machinery is mostly made of cheaper metals such as iron, and these are subject to corrosion. And to slow the corrosion process and protect their equipment, the military has begun shrink wrapping their machinery. Now, for those of you not familiar with shrink wrapping, that's basically like giant saran wrap. And they're putting saran wrap around the helicopters and so forth to try to slow the effects of corrosion. Why? Because their helicopters aren't gold plated. You know, you could gold plate them too. That would protect them, but that'd be way too expensive, so they can't do that. But gold will hold its value even in a harsh environment. And brother, you can just take the slides down. Thank you. That's all we have. And Jesus taught us that a wise person will not put their treasure where bugs and rust can destroy it. Moths and decay. But they'll lay their treasure up in something that holds value. And that's why people through the ages have looked to gold as a valuable substance and iron pyrite. And Christian character can be typed to real gold. And I want to just skip ahead a page here. The properties of real gold make a good type. That real gold is so much more valuable than fool's gold. But the true gold is not what most people know as gold. You know, we think, oh, if I had the real gold, if I had that bar that we had on the screen, $9,800,000, I'd be a rich man indeed. And you would be rich in this earth's possessions if you had gold, you know, because it is a valuable substance. And I think, you know, all of us would welcome a little bit, you know, if God chose to send it our way. A couple honest ones, a few honest ones. But anyway, but that is not the true gold. That's our title this morning, is true gold. Because even the real gold itself has caused so many wars and corruptions and wrong things. You know, I think of the European explorers in days gone by, they discovered all the gold that the Aztecs and the Mayas had in Central and South America. And it was real gold. It was the real thing that has all these valuable properties that holds value. But there wasn't real gold in the hearts of the explorers or the powers in Europe. They didn't have true gold. They were just looking for elemental gold there in South America and Middle America. So what'd they do? They came over and began killing and deceiving and treachery and fighting and warring. What for? For true gold. Well, for elemental gold. Sorry about that. Not true gold. So the true gold is Christian character. And we want to look at that with the respect of the characteristics of gold, the element, which is AU, is the elemental symbol for gold. First of all, gold is not very common. That's the first characteristic that we talked about. And it's the same thing for the true gold. Jesus said, little flock. Yours is the kingdom. True Christians aren't very common. You know, my boss was, he's I would say a true Christian, Brother Cam. He's a Gideon. I was looking at your Gideon pamphlets back there. And he's just a genuine man, you know. And I'm just so blessed to work for him. And anyway, he doesn't go to our church. He goes to a different church, you know, and I've never been there. I don't know much about it. It's a big church. There's a lot of people, wealthy people there and things like that, you know, and I don't know. But I do know my boss, and he's a real Christian there. And he was telling me, talking about how Christians aren't real common. He's been in business for 28 years, and he's hired different people and fired people and things like that. And he said he was interviewing last week or the week before, and he said this guy was referred to him by a pastor. And this man's a Christian. I said, well, that sounds really good. And my boss says, well, he says, not everybody that says they're a Christian really has the ethics of a Christian. Or the behavior, you could say, you know. So, because he's had, you know, experiences, you know. So, and I guess he's actually leaning towards hiring somebody else. I don't know, you know, the why or the wherefore or anything. But a lot of times there's a lot of people professing Christianity, you know, even in our church back home, you know, and even in professing they believe the message or professing they believe higher doctrines and things like this. And there's a lot of people that just don't really have the real gold. It's not real common. You know, we shouldn't let that discourage us because Jesus told us that's how it would be. And Jesus' own disciples, he says, have not I called you, but one of you is going to reject, is going to deny me or betray me. Thank you. They about all denied him, especially Peter. They all ran away, you know. But one of them betrayed him right from his own midst. So, but that doesn't mean Jesus Christ wasn't the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Amen. He had the real gold. He was the real gold. Amen. Amen. And I believe there's true gold today in the hearts of individuals. But it's not very common. It's a little flock. And at first glance, the false may look better than the real. Sometimes the glitter of the world or the glitter of churches that maybe don't have the real gospel may look better to the human eye. But the real gold is much more valuable, we know. And God can work with a Christian, just like real gold is the most workable of all substances. God can work with a Christian. They're easily bent, formed, and shaped to his desires. Amen. Not brittle or easily broken or offended. Matthew 11:6. And blessed is he, Jesus speaking, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Why? Because they're real gold. Because they're not easily offended in Jesus. John 6:66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He'd said some hard sayings. Jesus had said some things which were hard. Kind of like a hammer blow. It's hard. But it doesn't break real gold. It just spreads it out more to make it useful. Amen. Praise God. Then said Jesus to the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus could tell those disciples some hard things, but it didn't break them. It just bent them. Amen. Into the image and form he had for them. Another characteristic of gold, it does not react easily with outside influences. And this is really good for the Christian. 1 Corinthians 13:4, speaking of charity, which is love, which is true gold. Amen? True gold is love. God is love, God's Spirit living in us. God is true gold. His Spirit living in us is true gold. Charity suffereth long. It's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked or easily angered. Real gold or charity does not react easily with outside influences, thinketh no evil. Here in Perfect Faith, 1963, Jesus lived in a world that no one knew about. He was an odd person. He lived in a world of perfect faith in the perfect God in which he was. If we lived in a perfect faith of a Christian to what we are, we'd be a mystic to the world. The people wouldn't understand you. You'd walk in the Spirit, what the Spirit said you would do. What it forbid, you would not do. That's being workable or malleable to the Spirit. Then the people begin to say you'd be a mystic person to them. That's the way it is to all believers. They're a mystic. The people don't understand because they live in a world to themselves. Jesus lived in a world that nobody else could touch. The disciples couldn't understand him. When he spoke to them, they said, "Why are you talking riddles? We don't understand this. How can this be?" See, they wasn't in the world that he lived in. See, they couldn't understand him. Nobody could understand him. And so, when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, real faith, true gold, we'll say. He is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. There, now you're getting into bride material. See. You're getting into rapturing condition now. So he's saying there, when you're walking by faith, true substance faith, then you're isolated from the entire world. In other words, the influences, the outside influences, you do not easily react with them. They do not affect you. You know, look at Abraham, a true believer that had true faith. How he just walked and walked with God and walked with God, and the fact that the promise was taking a long time did not easily affect him. The Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God. He just kept believing God and walking with God. And eventually the promise came. Amen. And the same thing with the believer today that has the true gold. Outside things aren't to easily affect you. You know, and I know it's Satan's job to try to get those things to affect us. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to make us solid, unmovable, like it says in the New Testament, rooted and grounded, like our pastor saying, "I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I'm anchored in Jehovah."
Yeah.
Amen. And that's Satan's trying to move us with these influences. And God's trying to anchor us. And our job is just to open up and let him in, you know, and just to let his Spirit have control and reign in our life. Because we in ourselves, we'd be moved. You know, we don't have the qualities of gold in ourselves. But we have to open up to him to let that Holy Spirit come in and feed on his word and pray and just be spiritually built up, so that we can have those qualities of real gold in our lives. Amen. Because those things, they're not, we don't just come by them of our own human nature. Our human nature is more like the pyrite. You know, it's more common. How many people are on this earth? 6 billion people? We're pretty common, you know. We tend to react to outside influences. We tend to give in to the effects of corrosion. Humanity does. Your human nature does. And And we still live in human bodies. We know that. But the inside, amen, that's where we're seeking for the true gold. Let's move on to the next characteristic here of gold. That is, it is resistant to corrosion. By not reacting easily with outside influences, it makes it resistant to corrosion. And Christian character gives one resistance to the corrupting influences of the world. Amen. 1 John 2:14 tells us, I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that's from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong. And the word of God abideth in you. And ye have overcome the wicked one. So when that true gold, the word, is abiding in us, then we overcome the wicked one. And it goes on to say in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. These are the corrupting influences of the world. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the stability of gold gives it its value. And the stability of an individual gives that individual their value. By the power of God, by the infilling of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Isaiah 33:6, we read earlier, says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. And strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. And here, Brother Branham speaking about his co-worker in the gospel, Brother Neville. He says, I've known him for years and his lovely little wife, even before they were married. And the years that I've known him, he's never changed one bit. Only just went higher in God, that's all. But he's dependable. We love him now as a pastor. He's been there for years. And we hope he stays till Jesus comes. So that stability gives you value as a believer. Amen. Now the properties of gold. I want to read another quote here. This is from the Seven Church Ages, Laodicean Church Age. The Spirit speaking to this Laodicean Church Age and says, come and buy of me. Now, these people had plenty of gold, but it was the wrong kind. It was the natural gold. And I'm going to even say today, natural gold is fool's gold. If you're running after natural gold, that's foolish. As valuable of a substance as it is, as well as it keeps, as time-tested and proven as is, as good of an investment as it may be and all these things, it doesn't have any eternal value. So these people had plenty of this gold, but it was the wrong kind. It was the gold that bought men's lives and destroyed them. It was the gold that warped and twisted human character. For its love was the root of all evil. Love of money. Gold's a high form of money. But there is a gold of God, 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. The gold of God is a Christ-like character produced in the fiery furnace of affliction. That is the right kind of gold. But what kind of gold does the church have today? It's the worldly gold that will perish. It's rich, it's complacent. The evidence of God's blessings and the correctness of doctrine are now based upon how many rich folks are involved in it. Some churches that cater to rich people, you know. You'd better come before it is too late, saith the Lord. This is speaking to the Laodiceans again. And buy of me gold tried in the fire, and then you will be truly rich. Amen. He's the only one that has the true gold. Amen. That's why we sing, Lord, you are more precious than silver. You're more costly than gold. You're more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares with you. Amen. Only the gold tried in the fire shall endure. So then we had better be careful now. Okay, I'm sorry. Naked we came into this world, But naked we will not leave it. Oh, no, we are going to take something with us. What that something is all we can take with us. Nothing less and nothing more. Now we know some of the gold they find today is in the tombs of ancient rulers. And there's grave robbers. There has been over the years. Because they would take gold with them into the grave, thinking they could take it with them. But we see through history, the gold's still there in the grave. Or it might be hanging in museums now, you know. Tutankhamun's mask. I think that was gold. So we can't take anything with us from this world. All we can take is nothing less and nothing more. So then what will we take with us? We will take our character, brother. That is what we will take with us. Now, what kind of character will you take with you? So let's read another scripture here. 1 Peter 3, 1. And down through 6. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also be won without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation, we know the word conversation is like your way of life, coupled with fear. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Amen. It goes on here in verse 5 and 6 to describe how a wife or a woman would be ornamented in that spirit. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now this scripture, I was in a working week or two ago, given an estimate there at a beauty parlor. And while I had to wait for the man there to come up, so I was standing in the front lobby kind of looking around, and they had these nice little pretty lights to kind of hide. They had a little sales area to the left and a little scheduling desk to the right. And on the left there, they had these pretty little lights, like little track lighting, shining down on the products to make them more appealing. We all know, we talked about sales resistance in Sunday school, and part of the sales effort is to always make the product appear very appealing.
Yes.
And in this case, it's a beauty parlor, so all these products are designed to sell to women, and the idea is that the woman, by buying these products, is going to be more appealing also. It was all kinds of little trinket jewelry, I'll call it, you know, for lack of a better term. And they did make some jewelry out of iron pyrites, by the way. It's called Marcasite jewelry. It was kind of a fad in years gone by. It really didn't have Marcasite in it, but it did have some pyrites in it. And, you know, it's just like lower cost jewelry. But anyway, it was trinket jewelry and just little things, you know. And I was just looking at them because I was just standing there, you know. I didn't have anything else to do but wait. And noticing that if you bought one, it was $15 or $20. But if you bought two, it would be $25. So if you bought two, you get a little better price. But I was looking at it just thinking, you know, this is a beauty shop. This is where they try to help women be more beautiful. And I got to think about this scripture here that we're reading, you know. What a mixed up view of things, you know. Even if you had real gold, you know, real, very valuable gold to put on as your ornament, you know, even that, the scripture tells us itself here. That's not the kind of ornament that God is looking for in beauty in a person. You know, if this watch I have here was a $10,000 Rolex, real gold, everything watch, it wouldn't make any more difference than if it's a $50 JCPenney watch, you know? As to my character or the kind of person that I am. But yet so many people are so deceived by these things that they run after all these different things, you know, trying to add beauty to themselves, not realizing that the Scripture told us the real beauty is the inward beauty. It's the heart. Amen. Amen. That's the true treasure. When Jesus spoke of laying up treasure, we talked about this earlier, he said, don't lay up a corruptible treasure.
Right.
So gold would be a good one to lay up then. But there was another part to that statement. He says, nor one that thieves can break in and steal. So here, you know, the Mayans, the Aztecs, they had the right idea. They had the real gold. They were building it up. But the European thieves came in and broke in and robbed them. They called it war, conquering, you know. But there's no continuing city here, you know. And in this scripture where he spoke about treasure, he says, lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. Does this mean we have chests of gold in heaven? What is the treasure in heaven? Over in Luke 15, when Jesus was answering the Pharisees and scribes, they were criticizing him for eating with publicans and sinners. In verse 1 and 2 of Luke 15, I mean, I just spoke from this, that's why it's familiar, but there he began telling us, he told three different stories. One was about a sheep that was lost and how the master would leave 99 and go after that one sheep. One was about a woman who had, I believe it was 10 or 12 coins in a neck, in a headband, and one of those coins was lost, and she went to great efforts to search the house and find that missing coin. And the final story was the story of the prodigal son, the man whose son wasted all his inheritance and then came back to the father, and the father received him with joy. And the moral there in all three stories, he ends them, the first two, he says, when a sinner comes back, the angels in heaven rejoice. And then he says, God rejoices over this. So there's something valuable to God about sinners, about the salvation of a person's soul. So that's one of the heavenly treasures, I believe, is salvation of souls. Amen. That's a heavenly treasure. We know the prophet spoke of a scripture in Daniel. He says, the righteous, it'll shine. And he says, each soul that you save or that you don't save them, God saves them. But each soul that you're help to reach the gospel with, he says, they'll shine as a star in your crown throughout eternity. Amen. So there's a treasure that you can lay up in heaven. Amen. Over in Luke 12, one of the company was speaking to Jesus and said, Master, speak to my brother, this is verse 13, that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said to him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he goes on in verse 16 through 34 to tell the parable of the rich man and his barns. And he speaks more on money and possessions. We all know the story. The rich man, his business was doing very well. And his barns were, he couldn't hold all what he had. So he built bigger barns, and then he said, soul, take your ease. You have much laid up for many years. He was trusting in his earthly treasures. And then, you know, he said, fool, don't you know that your soul is required of you tonight? And he lost his life. And what good did it all what he had stored up and all his wisdom and directing his finances and everything. What good did it do him? And then down here in verse 33, after that, he says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags, and I've got here in quotes, or parentheses, money bag or purse. So it's like a wallet or a purse today, which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, looking at this verse a little more, I've always wondered about this. I always thought, was Jesus saying, you know, you're not supposed to own anything? Because it almost sounds like he says, sell what you have. Well, I have clothing, you know, I have a house, I have a van. Am I supposed to sell everything I have? Well, if you break down this verse a little more, the word have refers to goods or the things that one possesses, possessions, goods, wealth, or property. And alms, we know alms is charity or a donation to the poor. And then a treasure is a place where good and precious things are collected and laid up. A casket, a coffer, a receptacle in which valuables are kept. The things laid up in a treasury or collected treasures. So a lot of the, and we see a lot of this here in our country, but a lot of times people like to collect things and lay up collections of things that they value. And that's what I see this verse speaking to. Don't lay up collected things of value. He says, sell your collection and distribute it. Amen. But we know we need things to live by. You know, if you sell your van, you sell your car, Brother Cam, you can't get to church. You know, or you have to hitchhike or walk or ask somebody else for a ride. You know, we need our cars. You know, we need a place to live. You know, but we don't need stored up things on this earth. So that's what I believe he was speaking about here in this verse. If I didn't cover that well enough, you can see me later, or we can you can research that too, or ask your pastor. But that's what I believe he's speaking about in this verse. Don't lay up collections of earthly things. He said, sell that, give it to the poor. You just need what you need. You know, you need clothing. You need boots up here in the north. You know, you need hats. Gloves, mittens. I'm trying to find my wife some real good mittens so she can go outside in winter, you know. She goes out, she says, my hands are cold. I say, well, you need a good mitten or glove, something, you know, substantial to keep your hand warm, you know. You need these things. When you live in the North Country, you have to have heat for your house. You know, you have to have things. And the Bible says in another place, you ought to work. And work hard enough, you don't steal anymore, but work, it says in Ephesians, that you'd have something to give to somebody else. So not only do you have enough for your own things to provide your needs, but you have enough to give to somebody else. But that kind of ties in with this scripture too. Your hard work, your earnings, your things, is not to pile up earthly things for yourself. Jesus also proposed the solution to the rich young ruler of giving his wealth away. And in the early church, some of them sold their possessions and gave them to the Lord's work. So we see different examples there in Scripture on that. Where are we at on time here, brother? 12:10. How long do you usually go, brother? Okay, praise God. All right. Well, we're going to try to get through these 5 pages real quick. Amen. The real gold, in order to get it out, it must be refined. And refining is removing the impurities or bringing it to something to a fine or pure state. says over in Proverbs 17:3, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. So in those days, they were familiar with refining silver and gold, and you used a heating to burn out a lot of the impurities, and then the gold or the silver would remain. But the Lord trieth the hearts. He's the one that brings the true gold to the heart. Then in Proverbs 27:21 it says, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Now what this means, you don't have to take my word for it, you can look it up. But it means that when you are praised, or when someone gives you praise, that's like putting you in a fining pot or a furnace. And I think I heard it said once that man can take all kinds of testings, but not many men can stand up under the test of being praised. And that goes right in with this scripture. And that's a lot of times, you know, someone says good things about us or good things about our work, we tend to get puffed up, you know. But the Bible tells us that the true gold, charity, is not puffed up, you know. So it's a good test of our character is when we're praised. More on refining. I think we pretty much understand the process. It involved heat, a lot of heat, beating sometimes to beat out the impurities, some of the Indians did, grinding, crushing. The refining process is a rather difficult process. Right. And I want to look at the refining of our character just real briefly, and you could go into a lot on this. But 1 Peter 4:12 tells us, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, the Greek word there on fiery trial is pyrosis, and I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but anyway, it's the burning by which metals are roasted or reduced, a figure drawn from the refiner's fire. And these are the calamities or the trials that test our character. And I was reading in 2 Chronicles with my, I try to read daily something in the Bible. And I was reading about a good king named Hezekiah over in chapter 29, 30, 31. And he was really, you know, you read through Chronicles and Kings, and there's one king is godly and the next king is ungodly, and they just go, it goes back and forth. And it was really, must have been kind of discouraging, but I guess God knew what was going to happen. This thing is discouraging to God, but he knew what was going to happen anyway. But it's discouraging to me sometimes, you know, to see how they go up and down, you know. But he was really, did a lot of good things. They kept the Passover. He had the priests purifying themselves. They had the law out, and they were reading it, taking down idols, bringing up the true worship of God. And then over here in chapter 32, after these things, we'll read the end of chapter 31, verse 21. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Kind of sums up Hezekiah there. And after these things, verse 1 of chapter 32, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So after all the good things Hezekiah did as a king, restoring worship to the true God, after all that, then the king of Assyria comes to make war against him, and he has to begin making preparations for war, trying to stop up the wells so the Assyrians can't get the water, fortify things. And Sennacherib comes down in verse 9, 10, 11, 12, and begins threatening and making threats about his great military power. And then he defies the God of Hezekiah. So Hezekiah turns to the Lord and prays in verse 20. He says, "For this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz prayed and cried to heaven." And then Jehovah sent an angel, the Lord sent an angel and cut off the enemies and won the battle. Amen. So he was a good king, but yet God chose to send a trial his way. You know, and the trial was to test him. It was to purify him. It was to purge him. You know, I was just listening to a brother's testimony the other day. He was talking about how God was calling him into full-time ministry and how he wanted to do it, but he wanted to kind of hold the job too. You know, it was hard for him, and it would be hard, you know, just to go completely, especially as an evangelist. He was called to be an evangelist, just to go completely by faith, trusting for your everyday needs, your family to be supplied. So he went out and preached for a while, and then he went back and got another job. And he said that God broke down his health and just made him get fired from his job because of the loss of his health. And while he's going through all this, he said, the whole time, he said, I was a Holy Ghost-filled believer. But yet, here I am going through all these things. He said, what was it? He says, it was God purging. Because it says over in the New Testament, when a branch produces fruit and begins getting the character and begins the true goal, begins coming out in your life, then it says that the Lord comes and purges, which is pruning or cutting away. And that's what these trials and these testings are. Many times God brings things in and just cuts us back a little bit. Because there's something in us he wants to get out of us. Amen. And after the test, then he trusted God and went full-time in ministry. And all the symptoms doctors couldn't understand, they couldn't explain, it all just went away. And he was perfectly healed. Because God wanted him out there preaching the gospel. Amen. Not driving truck. So praise God. Amen. And so you know, you don't have to be a bad person to go through trials. You know, it just doesn't come to people who've made mistakes or done wrong things. But a lot of times, good, solid people, God brings trials to them. Here from Go Wake Jesus 63, he says, "Fiery trials, it's done to prove you. You have an experience then that you know what the Hebrew children could testify after they went through the fire. God is a savior from fire. They knew it. Daniel knew after the lion's den experience. Lazarus knew after the grave that he was the resurrection." That's Jesus. Amen. "After you went through these tests and trials, they're glorious to you." Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we're closing. They bring out the true gold. Amen. The tests and trials are glorious to us. Amen. Amen. It's a lot of times we don't see that when we're in them. But when we come out the other side, then we have a testimony. You have to have a test to have a testimony. And some of them tests, you know, it's hard. Hard things can come. We talked about fool's gold and real gold. The blows that real gold takes as it's being formed could shatter many other metals. But the real gold, it just will form it right to where God wants us. Amen. Amen. If our musicians could come, we'll bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your word, Lord. It's so perfect. We thank you, Lord, that nature's even designed by your great plan, Lord, we see the value of gold in nature as opposed to fool's gold or many other substances, how its many characteristics make it so valuable. And Lord, we also see that the gold, as we see it, real gold or elemental gold, the gold that the world has, the gold that maybe some of us even have some, maybe our wedding rings or something else or whatever it would be, that gold is not the true gold, because that'll perish too, that'll pass away. When the elements are melted with fervent heat, it'll all just reform the world in a new order, and all the gold or wealth or treasures that man had built up will mean nothing then. Lord, we see there's many rich, wealthy, powerful people in this world that don't know you. They don't have God, and they don't have the true gold, Lord. But God, we thank you that you've brought the true gold to us through Jesus Christ, through this Easter resurrection day, through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you help us to just surrender our lives, Lord, so that true gold can be in us. That gold of character, that gold of Christian character. Lord, we remember the prophet said that if he could just get the bride to stand still long enough to dress her. And what is she being dressed in? It's the garment of the word, which brings that Christian character to us through your word, Lord. And God, help us to see that all these other things are just distractions. Help us to surrender our wills, surrender our lives, every little part. Lord, we know that sometimes we speak hard things and as ministers, but God, we just want to be true to what Jesus said and what Jesus taught and what your prophet taught, and he was true to what Paul taught. Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to just be true to you in all our lives and all what we say and do. Help us, Lord, each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, Lord, You Are More Precious Than Silver. And if anyone needs prayer, you're welcome to come forward as we sing. Lord, You are treasure is having him, but it's having him in us. living out through us and living out his word through us. Amen. He was a great treasure when he walked here, or walked in Israel. It was a great treasure when, you know, Dwight Moody preached the gospel and went out in the street and said, "Do you know grace?" So inspired by the grace of God. It was a great treasure when Paul preached, teached, and taught, and traveled, and suffered great things for his name's sake. It was a great treasure when Brother Branham was with us, well, it was before my time, and traveled and preached and used that gift God gave him to witness to people. But it's another day, you know. And now the great treasure is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Not putting out these attributes of easily influenced by our surroundings, or like pyrite, or easily corrupted, or easily reacting. You know, so many Christians easily react to things, get so easily upset. It oughtn't to be. It's what the prophet said. We ought to be like gold. Nothing moves us. Why did Paul say nothing moved him? Because he was looking to the Holy Spirit. He was feeding on the Holy Spirit, and nothing moved him. Amen. Let's sing that song. Your pastor sang, "I shall not be moved." I shall not be, I shall not be.
Set the heavenly pattern up, and he's seen in that heavenly pattern of the temple that he had in heaven, he's seen that what there would be an ark there would be a golden candlestick there, and all these things were overlaid with gold. And when he gave Moses the requirement, what he do, he said, "You shall overlay it with just gold." He said, "Pure gold." We're looking at true gold and God's work and what God has done. And of course, you know, the seven church ages, that menorah, that seven golden candlestick, seven-armed golden candlestick, we see that it was a golden beaten work. It had to be completely gold. God desired deity, brother, sister. And maybe just an idea, but here we are. We are a predestinated work of God to show forth deity on this earth. Amen. That's why God, He didn't allow you to have your theophany here. He required you to get His Holy Ghost. Amen. To get that Logos, to get that Word. Amen. So what? That through Christ you could express true deity of God. Amen. Amen. They shall know you by your love. They shall know God and Christ by watching you. Amen. By their fruits ye shall know them. So as we just heard such a wonderful message, and I'll tell you what, you look at that giant golden nugget and you say, boy, I wish I had that. But what would you do if you did have that? Would you do it to further the kingdom of God? Because remember, brother, sister, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Amen. And, you know, as our brothers preach these things today, I'm not perfect, brother, sister. And when I look at these things, I say, oh, God, what more could I be doing for your kingdom? I could be using my finances better for your kingdom. I could be doing all these things just to further. Because, brother, sister, what unites us even as assembly is we believe that the coming of the Lord is almost here. Amen. We believe there's souls to get in there. They've got to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Not a feeling. Not just saying, God, I accept you. There has to be a place where Christ accepts you. Amen? Remits those sins, right? Hallelujah. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, by the grace of God, we see the hours late. Not just talking what time we're at right now. I'll tell you what, I a lot of times the hunger for the Word just overwhelms my hunger for food. And God, I want it to be like that. I want to be able to sit in the house of God and just feed on the Word of God. And I believe I've done that. Brother, there's so many different ways that you can roll it right through, and it's all so beautiful. But brother, that Holy Ghost makes you flexible. It makes you malleable. You can do these things, brother, sister. We're made for this. Amen. And by God's grace, like I said, I don't want to necessarily just eat up your time. I know it's Easter. We got families to get to. We have things to do. But what have you done in the house of God where the true family abides today? Amen. So they asked Christ. They said, Christ, your mother and your brother. And Christ said, who is my mother and brother? It said, it's those who obey my Father's word, who keep that word. Amen. So it's good to be here with a family. And I pray that by the grace of God, you realize that there's little gold nuggets sitting all throughout this place. Amen. I don't watch TV, brother, sister. When I went down to Florida, we visited in-laws. They have a TV. And, you know, I watched a show. He was watching a show about gold. And it just come to me as our brother was preaching this, that there they were. They took this big mining machine out, and they took it in this in this previously mined area, and they just bring the rock up, and it separates the gold. And what they were doing is they were going over a field that had been mined over, and they said it was a make or break season. Could there be any more gold there? Of course, they dramatize it. How could you make a TV show on gold, brother, sister, mining it? But they so make it so it's so exciting. You get right into it. But will it pay off? All this work that they said, well, they had to, and at the end of the day, they bring in this cup. This cup is this big. And they set it on the table. They say, right, there it is, brothers and sisters. Or they say, there it is, boys. They weren't brothers and sisters. But they said, right there in that little cup. And they had to have so much money or whatever to pay for the operation. They had all these little nuggets. And it was $1.2 million in this little cup. I said, it reminds me of the gospel we're at, brothers and sisters. There's still souls that need to be reaped. It's been planted over. America has been planted over with the gospel. And it's produced so many different ideas of what religion is and what Christ is. But the word is still there. then it's still producing sons and daughters. It's still reviving hearts, amen. It's still opening our eyes. But somebody's got to be willing to go over an area that's been already reaped over. See, we like to just say, well, I'm gold, I'm caught. But there's a mission, brother. He said he'd make you fishers of men. God, let us be a city set on a hill. A light in that place. A dark, in a dark world. God, let us be shining that gospel. How many can say, God, I know you've been working that over me, that this beaten image. Amen. He wants to form you just like him. Is that what God's been doing for you today? I pray that we see that the word certainly is precious to us when we look at these things. Like I said, I'll say a few words. You know, I'm going to have to, but by the grace of God, I've been thoroughly fed by the word of God today. And I tell you what, I thank God for this little resurrection day that God has given us. And you know, by the grace of God, as we close, you know, I want to be in a place that the Holy Spirit can use me more than ever before. Have you ever thought about that? When you look at your life today, do you look and say, God, am I fully sold out to your will? Because you see how we get caught up in the things of the world and this responsibility and this and these pleasures and so forth. And sometimes we just miss the whole purpose of our being in this place. So I say today, you know, let us refocus. Because I'll say it as I believe our brother was stating it as far as even figuratively. But we have gold sitting in this room. We have the true character of Christ. God, let it be a finished work. Continue to work it out so that we look in your way. Amen? So as we prepare to close, my brother made an altar call. Maybe we'll sing a song or so, and then we'll be dismissed. We'll be able to move on. But I pray that the Lord would let you realize. See, Satan is the one telling you that you're fool's gold. But the Word tells you different. Amen? So let's just sing a song. Sing that song, We've Been Made More Than Conquerors.